verse 1 to 17. This sets the context even for psalm singing. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Put now ye also off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And it's the verse 16 and 17 tonight that we want to look at. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And we'll just end our reading there at verse 17 and trust the Lord will bless us as we consider his word tonight. I wonder, have you ever been guilty of stealing the free pea hymn book? Sometimes you walk out of the prayer meeting holding your Bible and you forget that you also have the hymn book in your hand. And next thing, you're back home and you have another hymn book to add to the collection. There's no one more guilty than me when it comes to that. But all joking aside, I wonder, have you ever picked up the hymn book and read the first few pages of it? And one of the first pages in it has these two verses, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Why do we have 150 psalms at the front of our hymn book? Well, they've been put there so that we would sing them. Tonight, as I've already said, I want us to consider the question, should we as believers sing psalms? Notice with me, first of all, tonight, the command. In the Bible, we are commanded to sing psalms. Tonight, I would like to give you a number of verses that show us this. You don't need to turn to them all, but please notice with me, first of all, tonight, that in the Old Testament, we are commanded to sing psalms. Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2 says this: O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with what? With psalms. This shows that psalms are to be sung in order to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Of course, we as believers can sing hymns, and that can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But do notice tonight that the verse says about singing psalms. Singing psalms is a way to express our thanks to God. Sometimes you and I, as believers, we can struggle to know how to express our thanks to God. So often we don't have the words to say, or if we do have words, they are feeble words at best. But how about using the scriptures themselves to thank God? And even better, how about singing scripture in order to praise our God? Singing psalms is a way that we can express ourselves biblically, and as we sing them, they can guide our thoughts and expression Godwards so that we would properly worship God. So that's one verse, Psalm 95 and verse 1 and 2. Another two verses, Psalm 105 verse 1 and 2. They say, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds upon the people. Sing unto him," and then notice what it says, "sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." In this verse, we are stirred up by the psalmist to praise God. We as the people of God, we must make known the deeds of God. We must make them known among the people. We need to talk of all his wondrous works. We need to give glory to his holy name. And how do we do this? Yes, we can do this by talking, definitely, but we can glory in God's holy name by singing the psalms. Of course, we can sing the hymns as well, but notice here it mentions the psalms. Also in the Old Testament, King Hezekiah commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the singer. Again, this is a clear reference to the Psalms. When it comes to the book of Psalms, it is a book that was inspired by the Holy Ghost for the purpose of singing. Of course, we can read it. Of course, we can meditate on it. But let's always remember the purpose for why they were wrote. You will notice in a number of the psalms that in the title of it, it says, "to the chief musician." And that means that these were songs that were specifically designed by David and others to be given to the temple musicians, and they were to use these as part of worship in the temple. So we've considered the Old Testament. Now let's move on to a few references from the New Testament. In the New Testament, we are commanded to sing psalms, and that shows that psalm singing wasn't just for the Old Testament, it was also for the New Testament. We as New Testament believers should sing them. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Again, these are well-known verses, but it can be easy to miss out some of the mention of psalms in them. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord." Again, Mr. Patterson has mentioned this many times, we shouldn't be drunk with wine, but instead we should be filled with the Spirit. We should talk in the Spirit, we should walk in the Spirit, and we should behave ourselves in the Spirit. The next few verses in Ephesians 5 go on to tell us about the Spirit-filled life. The Spirit-filled life is to be marked by worship, and it's also to be marked with gratitude. When we are filled with the Spirit, we will desire to worship God, and we will also encourage others to worship God. But also, worshiping God is a way that we are filled with the Spirit. It works both ways, it's vice versa. But notice that in Ephesians chapter 5, the first thing that's mentioned in Ephesians 5 about the Spirit-filled life is verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We as believers, we should sing psalms as a result of being Spirit-filled. And the psalms are also a means to fill us with the Holy Ghost. So that's that verse in Ephesians. Another verse in the New Testament is James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? What does it say? Let him sing psalms. Matthew Henry, you'll be familiar with the commentator, he says this about the verse. This, however, we are sure of, that the singing of psalms is a gospel ordinance, and that our joy should be a holy joy consecrated to God. End quote. So this shows that psalm singing is appropriate when we are cheerful, and it's also appropriate whenever we're sad. The last reference that I want to give you tonight is Colossians chapter 3, which we read tonight. And it's this verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So as we sing psalms, we need to sing with grace in our hearts. If we don't have grace in our hearts, we will never sing them right. If there's pride, if there's reliance upon self, we will probably find the psalms boring. But if you notice here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the psalms are a way to teach us and to admonish us. They are a way to build us up in our most holy faith so that we would go on with God as believers. So I think we can conclude so far that we as New Testament believers, we should sing psalms because it's commanded so many times in the Bible. If God only tells us once to do something, we should obey it. I give the example of head covering. It's mentioned once and we should adhere to it. But singing psalms is mentioned so many times, we ought to obey the Lord. John 14 verse 14 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let us as believers sing the psalms in order to show our love for Christ. Sadly today in the Church of Jesus Christ, psalm singing is something that has been neglected. Some churches never sing psalms and other churches only sing them on occasions. But because it's commanded so many times and so frequently, we should sing the psalms often. I'm not saying we have to chuck the hymns out, but what I'm saying, we should sing them frequently in order to please our God. If you think about David in the Bible, you'll know the well-known verse that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Have you ever wondered, how did David actually encourage himself? Well, he would have read the scriptures, but surely he would have sang. And surely he would have sang the psalms, some of the psalms that he wrote. So we've considered so far that the psalms are commanded. I want to move on to our second point tonight. Psalm singing has been something that has been part of church history. This is a shorter point, but I want you to know that psalm singing is something that has been practiced down through church history. We're very familiar with Martin Luther, and Martin Luther wrote many well-known hymns that we love. He wrote, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. But Martin Luther also said this, I'm quoting him, the common and ancient custom of the Christian church was to sing psalms. John Calvin was also another person who loved the Psalms. We get our term Calvinism from John Calvin. And John Calvin believed that singing psalms was one of the four principal acts of church worship. He urged his people to sing psalms on a Sunday morning and also in a Sunday afternoon. And John Calvin encouraged his congregation to view psalm singing as a spiritual discipline. And he believed that by singing them, the people would be trained in holiness. And John Calvin felt so strongly about psalm singing that he actually introduced it into his Geneva school. And the students there were told to sing psalms after the noon meal. John Calvin's goal was to enable children to sing psalms at school, at church, and also at home, so that they could also help their parents to sing the psalms as well. So we've considered Martin Luther, John Calvin, and just one more thing from church history is our Westminster Confession of Faith. In chapter 21 and section 5, it's talking about worship. It says this: the reading of scriptures with godly fear, the sound preaching, the hearing of the word in obedience unto God with understanding, faith and reverence. And then also mentions this: singing psalms with grace in the heart. So our confession also encourages us to sing psalms. I want to move on now to our third and our last point tonight. Why should we sing the psalms? We've considered the command to, we've considered about church history, but why should we bother as the people of God to sing the psalms? Well, the first reason I want to give tonight is because we should sing them because Jesus sang the psalms. If you turn to Mark chapter 14, please. Mark chapter 14 and verse 26. This was just after the Lord had instituted the Lord's Supper, kind of just right at the end of the Lord's Supper before he went to Gethsemane. Mark chapter 14 and verse 26. It says, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." It's wonderful to know that Christ sang, and we're told that he sung a hymn. But we do know that this isn't one of the hymns that we sing, because our hymn writers weren't born till another 1,500 years later. But instead, most commentaries agree that what Christ sang was the Psalms. And other commentators go on to say that he specifically sang Psalm 116 to Psalm 118. As a child, Christ would have learnt the Psalms. He would have sang them in the temple, and he would have been very familiar with them, just like most of the Jews. So that's one reason why we should sing them, because Christ sang them. Another reason for why we should sing psalms is found in Colossians chapter 3, where we read tonight. It tells us in Colossians chapter 3, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So what is the word of Christ? The word of Christ is the word of God. And that means that we must hide the word of God in our hearts so that we don't sin against God. And the best way to hide the word of God in our heart is to memorize it. And then the best way to memorize is actually to sing it. If you think about the children who come to the children's meeting, they learn those choruses and they stick with them for years. I was chatting to a fellow in my workplace, not that last year actually, and he told me how he loved going to the children's meeting. He loved getting his sweets, but he always remembers singing the choruses. He remembers singing deep and wide and so on, and those have stuck with him, even though he hasn't been out in church for a number of years. And so that's the same for us as believers. If we sing them, we'll memorize them, we'll learn them, we'll hide them in our hearts. The Psalms are the word of Christ. Another reference, sorry, we have so many references tonight. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. We know that the Psalms are the word of Christ from this verse. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. This is just before Christ would ascend into heaven. It says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." The Psalms are Christ-centered, and that's a reason why we should sing them. If you think about Psalm 1, Christ is the blessed man in Psalm 1. As we sing Psalm 1, our mind should be drawn to Christ. Even in Psalm 2, it talks about the kings of the earth have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. Christ, he is the anointed one in Psalm 2. If you think about Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, David prayed this, but Christ prayed this. And if we sing Psalm 22, we will be drawn to Calvary. Our mind will be drawn to think what went through the mind of Christ. If we sing the Psalms, they can be a means of deepening our walk with God, and it will continually bring us to Christ, and it will cause us to have a Christ-centered attitude. As we close tonight, I want to emphasize, don't go home thinking we should only sing Psalms. Let's continue to sing the hymns. Let's be careful not to throw them out. But let's also not neglect the Psalms. Let's not neglect what God has commanded us to sing. Let us frequently sing the Psalms like we frequently sing the hymns. And may we glorify our Saviour. But just one more thing before we close. If we think again about Colossians chapter 3, go back to that passage. The context, I didn't really go much into the context tonight, but it talks about, if we then be risen with Christ, we are to seek those things which are above. We as believers should seek after Jesus Christ. And we must remove worldliness. We must remove anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth. And we as the people of God, we must put on the new man. We must walk in humility, and we must forgive one another. But let me say this tonight, if we don't mortify the deeds of the flesh, if we live worldly lives, if we've got no control over our tongue, if we don't forgive other people, then the Psalms won't be a delight to our souls. Remember, it talks about singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. May we not sing the Psalms just to tick a box, said, I've done that today, or we done that in church. But may we come Spirit-filled, may we come with a desire to worship God, and may we seek after Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow. Tonight, as we get down to our time of prayer, let's ask the Lord for his Spirit. Let's ask God for grace so that we would sing the Psalms. We can also sing the hymns, and so that we would glorify our God in all that we do. I trust that's all made sense tonight, and it's been a blessing to your hearts.